This is the Home Tech Podcast, show number 67, recorded on March 29th, 2012. I'm your host, Jim Collison, broadcasting live from the AverageGuy.tv studios here in a stormy Bellevue, Nebraska. We got some thunderstorms rolling through the night, so hopefully I don't have to deal with my UPSs, although they are on and ready to go. And we post the show each week with world-class show notes out at the AverageGuy.tv. If you want to contact the show, send us an email, podcast@theaverageguy.tv, and I do read those and get back to it if you want. You can track me down on Twitter at Jay Collison and follow the show on a new Twitter account that I'm trying to use faithfully just for the show and show announcements about when things are starting. It's just at the Average Guy TV, all one word. Last week I said .tv, but it is just the Average Guy TV out on Twitter. We also continue to try and make the show easier to listen to. And so this last week I added the show on Stitcher. If you haven't used Stitcher, Stitcher is a podcast aggregator. And so if you're wondering how we talk about these podcasts all the time and you're wondering how the heck we get these things and listen to them, Stitcher might be a nice place to start. It's available on both the iPhone, Android phone, and Kindle Fire devices, even on the HP touchpad, and if you have one of those. And you can download that from your app store and then just search for the Average Guy Podcast. Once you get signed in and create an account, search for the Average Guy Podcast, set it up, and then it will be automatically delivered to your device each and every week. Stitcher Smart Radio and the smarter way to listen to radio. So if you want to do that or you have problems with that, give it a try. It's great for new folks who've never listened to podcasts before or downloaded them before. Give it a try. Check it out, Stitcher.com. We've also got all the links that you'll need for your iTunes. We don't want to forget about Apple as much as Mike Howard wants me to. We won't forget about that. We have all the links for iTunes, Zune players, and most other podcatchers on the front page of theaverageguy.tv. You can also find us on Facebook by searching The Average Guy Podcast. And please leave some comments, either votes, likes, comments, all that good stuff. Very helpful. All right, let's get started with the show tonight. It's a stormy Thursday evening here in Bellevue, but I'm sure it's great in other places around the country. We'll start with one of the regular guys who's on with us about every 7 weeks, Bill Pullman. Bill, how are you doing?
I'm doing excellent. How's everyone?
I'm doing well. And what you been up to the last – did we miss you the last go-around?
You broke down.
Yeah, oh, that's right. So the last time you were on, I was in Kansas City, the Honda – hybrid battery went dead as soon as I got down there, and I couldn't make it back in time.
And which battery was that?
That was the engine battery.
Oh, well, that's good then.
Yeah, so $114, and AAA. I called I'm a AAA member, and they came out. $114 later, it was working. I tell you what, it could have been $150. I needed, yeah, you know, I wasn't.
You did it.
Downtown Kansas City. It's not like I'm going to walk over to, you know, Advanced Auto Parts or AutoZone or something like that. So pretty nice, actually. 6-year warranty. You're a car guy, so you appreciate this. 6-year warranty, first 3 replacement, second 3 prorated. That's probably pretty standard across batteries. But, you know, they bring it out in a truck, they install it for you, done deal. No extra charge.
Now, quick question, not to change everything, but did the car actually stop working because the battery went dead, or you went to restart it and it wouldn't start?
Yeah, no, I was sitting in there talking to Rich O'Neill on my phone, and the lights started. Yeah, that was probably the reason, right?
And the car was running?
Let's see, was it?
Car's probably in hybrid mode.
It was, it had the gas engine on. And, and let's see, I'm trying to remember. I think I had turned the engine off but left the, left it on with the battery, right? So I could hear, because I had Rich plugged into the stereo speakers, you know, he and I were talking. I was hearing him out through that, and it was only about 5 minutes. It wasn't that long, but all of a sudden things started flickering, and the battery or the radio went off, and then the lights started crazy. You know, like
the dashboard freaks out. No, that's the reason why I asked, because that's a common issue with a lot of people with them, because it's such a small battery. If you look at it, it looks like the size of a loaf of bread. It's not a battery.
No, it literally is. Yeah, it's like that big. It's not very big at all.
Okay.
But the guy came out and replaced it for me. I was out in and out in about an hour and a half, but it did delay the show. So sorry we missed you last time. What have you been up to?
Nothing really. Just a lot of everything. It's been so warm out here in the east that it's time that you gotta get put the chemicals down on the lawn, go outside, listen to your podcast. Really not a lot of tech except for Windows. Yeah. You know, Windows 8. I went live with. That's about it.
Yeah. So you got Windows 8 on your box there?
Yeah, with the dual monitors on my i7. I'm liking it and I don't like it. Just a lot of things to quirk around. My 2-year-old thinks it's great, and he can go all over the place and find, you know, control panel with the blink of an eye, and I got to scroll around and find it. You know,
right? Yeah, I put it on a laptop, so now I'm full time Windows 8, at least on a device. I had been using it virtually, and
it work real nice.
It's got a few issues, but it's not too bad so far. So I haven't really pressed it. But what the hell's going on behind you there on the desk?
That's my son's actually. I'm building a box for my son. The other stuff is you don't want to know about, but really, building a Linux box for my son. He's getting old enough where I want to get the iPad out of his hand at 20 months, you know?
Right.
And actually let him use a mouse and keyboard, so I put building a Linux box for him.
What brand of Linux?
I'm using Xubuntu because it's a single core Pentium, just repurposing. Recycling.
Awesome. Well, welcome back. Good to have you. We'll spend a little more time talking here shortly. Pinch hitter tonight. Both Christian and Andrew are out. I got a note from Andrew. He is just swamped and so couldn't join us. So I sent a quick note over to Mike Howard and said, hey, can you fill in? Mike Howard, of course, is behind JPEG to Raw over at jpegtoraw.com and a podcaster on Tuesday nights at 8 Eastern. Is that right, Mike?
8 is the chat. When the chat starts, 8:30 is when the show normally starts.
Good stuff. And you guys are gaining some momentum over there. You're
doing all right. We've got a good team.
Yeah.
So Tim is a good show notes and co-host, and Kathleen is a great co-host and really helps out with a lot of the behind the scenes, getting guests and that kind of stuff.
Yeah, and you're hiding your guitar. That typically we can see.
You know, it's like right there. It's right outside the camera range. I must have moved the thing, but you know, you got to set up props back there for the ladies,
right? Because you've got ladies on your show, and that's something we've never seen. It would be awesome if you actually are a gal and you're listening to this podcast. Send me a note, podcast@theaverageguy.tv. I promise I won't stalk you, but I would be interested to know why. Why you listen. So, and then, Mike, great to have you out tonight. And then, of course, last but not least, and a guy that shows up every time we do a Rich's Random Podcast Generator on the weekends. And I gave him about 10 minutes worth of notice, but said, John, you want to join us? John Stussman. John, how are you? He has his mic muted. He made a rookie mistake.
I almost was doing great.
Welcome, Dylan.
Yeah.
John, how are you doing? Thanks for joining us.
I'm doing great. Like I said, you can hear me now.
yeah, you're good. You're good. You can leave it on. You don't have to mute it.
Oh, okay. Well, I was going to watch The Big Bang Theory, but my better half was interested in watching Minnesota hopefully beat Stanford. So,
oh, nice.
There was no problem with recording it. So, we got the recorder going.
Has football started already?
I'm talking about the greatest game in America,
which basketball. Is what
basketball.
That's why I said, has football started already?
is that an NIT game or is that what's
yeah,
the?
Yeah, it's an NIT.
All right, and of course you're a Big Ten guy, right? And living in the heart of the Big Ten. Yeah, is Bill Point? What's that stand for, Bill? I don't know any of those.
Is that Rochester? Games.
Rochester. Oh, can I fly over to you and choke you? It would be Rutgers.
Yes, of course. Of course. I try not to pay any attention to that, which is going on.
We go. Okay, we'll be in your division soon, I hope. Can't wait to get that big.
You think so?
I hope.
Okay. All right.
10 or 12. I don't care what it takes. Get us out.
Yeah.
Well, Jim, you have, you're a Nebraska fan.
Right.
You had a Nebraska mug. Oh, I just realized I came in here and I forgot to bring my wine. I had a glass of wine poured. It's in the living room.
Well, mute, and go grab your wine.
I will do that.
You can come back in. We'll keep going.
Well, is there any other colorful commentary that I could provide though before I
No. Just make sure you unmute when you come back.
Okay. Well, you might prefer it that way.
You never know.
So what we like to often do on the show is cover your emails that you send in. And one of the guys we read, I read his, it was actually a comment we got on Google Plus last week. Michael Burris wrote in. It was talking about Skype, kind of led the whole Skype discussion last week, and we did about a half an hour on Skype. So if you're not a big Skype user, you want to know some information about Skype, head over to theaverageguy.tv and catch show 66, even though I say 67 when the show starts. And we cover that. But I wanted to run this by you guys real quick, just for quick discussion, and he threw this out in Google Plus. He said, I need a Wi-Fi router that can do or that can connect to a Wi-Fi hotspot. And so he says, here's my usage scenario. I want to have a router for when I travel. I travel with several devices, some that can be wired, have a wired connection, some that can only use a wireless connection. So, you know, like a laptop for the first one, an iPad for the second one. I'd like to set up a mini home network so I can share files between devices. So when he's traveling on the road, most likely in a hotel, this is what he's looking for. So here's a little commentary on that. In my experience, this is him speaking again, the hotels that charge for Wi-Fi on each device. Now, I haven't seen that before. Usually now they give you a code, at least what I've seen when I've traveled, is they give you a code for the hotel wireless. So in this scenario, that there's kind of no point in that. But let's just say, for example, I have been in some hotels where they give you one network connection, right? It comes in on the desk, and maybe the Wi-Fi is not very good, or you want to hardwire in there, and then maybe you don't have access. So how do you connect your iPad to the Wi-Fi if you can only plug your laptop in? So some hotels use a web-based payment system where you can connect to the network, then go to a web page to enter in your payment information, username, password to gain access to the internet. I've also seen that in nicer hotels, which is funny. In the nicer hotels, the internet's expensive. And in the cheap budget ones, you get free Wi-Fi. I never really could understand that, but that seems to be my experience when I'm traveling. So I'd also like to connect to the router to my phone's hotspot feature. What are some options, and what should I search for? And so I wanted to throw that out a little bit. If you're traveling, so say, let's say the scenario is laptop, iPhone, or some kind of phone that maybe has a hotspot availability on it or not, and then maybe an iPad. Let me throw that out there to you guys. Any creative scenarios that you might run through to connect those devices, either having a device or one you can buy that might do something like that? Any ideas?
Well, the first thing I would do is you would normally try a router, and that has bridge capability. But the problem here is that each device that gets an IP is going to require you to access the web, the hotel's web page. So, probably the only way around it is to actually use a laptop connected to the Wi-Fi and then bridge out from there with a router connected to the your Ethernet. It's the only thing I can think of
okay. That
would actually work.
And so so if you have a laptop, you have one network connection. The network comes into the laptop. Laptop gets Wi-Fi and is signed in.
Right.
Then what's the next connection to get the Wi-Fi for the iPad?
Right. So you're gonna bridge that connection over to Cat5, from your laptop into your router, and you're gonna put it, into the WAN.
But what if you only have one network port?
On the laptop?
Yeah. So on the laptop, you're coming in.
You're gonna want a Wi-Fi in.
Yeah.
And then
okay.
Cable so, out.
Okay, so that in that scenario is going to depend on you're going to get Wi-Fi access from the hotel, and then you're going to come out of the network into a router,
right,
into a wireless router of some kind.
Right. So share that internet connection
okay.
to the wired port, and then put that into your router and let that subdivide it out, to your different devices. That's what I would try.
Okay.
Not that works or not, but.
Bill, have you ever tried any hotspot devices of any kind?
No, I actually haven't. I haven't had a need to.
Okay. All right. Mike, have you had any experience with that?
No, I haven't either. No, I hadn't tried that.
John, any
I've been thinking about the MiFi, or the MiFi, mm-hmm. whatever you want to call it.
And, I think it's MiFi.
It's gotten some good talk, but I guess I've been fortunate or whatever. I stay at the moderately priced hotels, so I don't have to worry about it. They give me a code with the room, and I'm able to attach all my devices. Another thing might be if you're like with a hotel policy plan, like Hilton Honors, for instance, or you know any of those, which cover a group of hotels. And a lot of times, just because you're a member, you can get Wi-Fi access through those.
Yeah.
So that's that. You know, that's something to think about. But you know, I can't say it hasn't been a big problem for me as far as finding Wi-Fi access. Wi-Fi access.
Yeah, me either. I think you know, I think the most common situation for people is, of course, to have some kind of Wi-Fi hotspot that they've purchased from their cell phone provider. In that case, and to give them, you know, that allows most of them allow up to 5 connections. That gets a little expensive. The guy in chat gave me this, and I don't even know how to pronounce it. HUAWEI. Is the name of product Hawaii? Yeah, an E587 mobile Wi-Fi. It's 4G, and I know Sprint has also the MiFi, or I think that's on Sprint, or maybe that's on Verizon.
Well, so that's it's going to get more competitive too. I think you're going to see a lot more competition in this area between all the companies, and with the Apple 4, or the probably with the Apple 5. I wouldn't be surprised if you see something coming out like that where you can use it as a mobile hotspot with everybody but AT&T probably. But
So the how about this? So what about plugging the laptop in and turning the Wi-Fi on the laptop on as the bridge, right? So plug the – say you only have a hardwired connection in your hotel room. These are getting less and less common, but let's just say, for example, that's all you have. Come in, authenticate, then turn on the Wi-Fi and make that an access point, right, using the bridge, using a bridge. This was real common in Windows XP days. Yep. You could turn those on. Some of the current technologies has made that less useful, and some of the security problems, honestly, that creates. Go into an airport sometime and look for open Wi-Fi, you know, where people have open Wi-Fi on their laptops on. They don't even know they have it on, or they got open Bluetooth on.
Yeah.
That can be a problem as well. But that, I think that's another way of doing it, is turning your Wi-Fi on the laptop into a wireless hotspot and then connecting your iPad to it. I haven't done a lot of that. I'll be honest, I with my phone, well, first of all, most of the hotels I go into now have free Wi-Fi. And if they don't, you know, I just go, oh, well, I mean, if I need it for work, I buy it. But in most cases, I get to the hotel late, I'm there to sleep. I sleep, I wake up, I go wherever, I go to Starbucks, you know, maybe the next day and get the Wi-Fi if I need it. But I'm not trying to minimize the problem there. I get that it's that way.
Yeah, I think for us, we all have the Samsung Galaxy phones that can all do the wireless tethering. And so, one, we're either on the cell phone, which has its own connection, or if we have a secondary device where we need a connection, we just tether it with the Samsung phone, which is really
3G easy. Tethering, though, I have not had great success in 3G tethering.
True.
But it's horrible. So that you, yes, you can, and I think in a pinch you can.
Well, you know, you say that, but what I'm generally getting is near DSL speeds, which, you know, DSL is pretty slow these days, but I'm getting near DSL speeds with 3G tethering.
Yeah.
So, and now if you have 4G, if you have a Galaxy 2 or some other 4G device, you know, then you can get great speeds if you're
on 4G. And you're network. In a location that supports 4G.
If you're in a location, right.
So I'm in Omaha. Mm-hmm. I have a 4G phone. No chance. Sprint's not even going to move 4G to the Omaha area. So that, you know, they're switching over from WiMAX to LTE, and so they've written us off here in Omaha.
You know what? A lot of all four, AT&T, Sprint, Verizon, and T-Mobile are all getting into. And maybe this is not new to you guys, but it's new to me. They're trying to sell businesses low amount of bandwidth, cellular modems to put in your stores, and they can do transactional based data transmissions. So you're talking about, you know, under 100 meg, maybe even under 50 meg worth of data a month. And, you know, they're claiming, we've talked to all of them, they claim that they have, you know, humongous coverage, that they can cover, you know, near 98% of the locations.
Wow. Yeah.
And they're claiming they can cover it mainly with 4G. So 4G is expanding pretty good.
Mm-hmm. Bill, were you going to say something?
Yeah, I just think that the main topic was to still use the Wi-Fi in a hotel. Right. And when you go and use your data plan, you're not going to stream Netflix. So I'm in a hotel. I want to be like I'm at home. So that's, I got true, a couple devices, one, you know, to maybe do video conference with my wife at home, one to stream Netflix, and one to go from my home server, and I want to watch pictures of my son, whatever.
Right.
You know, when you get 3 and 4G and you're using that hotspot, and you have to reboot the Google phone every day, you might not want to go exceed your caps now, and that's the big thing in the U.S. We're so, you know, we just not used to caps, and now all of a sudden all these caps are coming on.
Yeah.
I think the whole idea was to use the hotel's wireless on multiple devices.
Yeah. No, yeah. I agree. Well, I think, I think that bridge idea of, so if the to your idea, right, I think if there's Wi-Fi available, so carry a small wireless router with you, and they do make very small wireless routers that are kind of made for, to be portable. And so if you want to carry a small wireless router with you, and then you connect to the Wi-Fi and authenticate, and then bridge that connection over to the Wi-Fi router and turn on your Wi-Fi, then you can connect any number of devices at that point and share it. So that's the one way, if you get Wi-Fi, even if you, and Michael said he's willing to pay for it, so that's great. Pay for the Wi-Fi connection, log in with one, use them all. And I agree with him, and that it's sometimes per device, and in that login it will require you to put some information in and they track it. So that would be one way to do it. It was to bridge it over, and I think he mentioned that on Google Plus. The second way, of course, is if they only provide an Ethernet jack, you just do that in reverse.
Backwards, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then turn your Wi-Fi on and let your Wi-Fi become, you know what? I guess you could do it the other way too, where you could carry just a second Wi-Fi USB Wi-Fi card. And you could Wi-Fi in to one and Wi-Fi out on the other, right? And so then when you're done, you just disconnect that one to one Wi-Fi card. And it would take a little work. I've never done that on Windows 7, so I would have no idea how to do that. But that the technology is there to be able to bridge those connections and then feed one from the other. So be an interesting write-up. Maybe we'll get John Zadler on that and see if he can write that up, or at least talk about it.
In a practical sense, though, how many devices do you really need to be plugging in?
Well,
you know, 20. If you have as
many as you want. I mean, if you've got a family, right? So, John,
what's the great need from want?
Yeah, I think that's a silly question.
Let's go, John. Let's need, John. That's one. Let's get away from the definition of need and go to how many devices do we want to connect?
Yeah. Well, but say it's I'm in the room and my daughter's got an iPad Touch or an iPod Touch, and my wife's using her, she doesn't have it yet, but she's using her iPad, and I'm on the computer, right? So I think that's a typical scenario, and where my daughter and...
Why don't you let your wife have it?
No, it's not going to work. She's going to get what she wants. I'm just saying.
Problem solved. She gets to have what she wants.
That's right. That's right. She gets the laptop. No, just kidding. So, So Michael, thanks for the question. I think some good discussion. I'm not sure we gave you an exact answer, but I'm not sure you intended that. You were well on your way to the answer on Google+, but I wanted to throw that out as part of the show. And, of course, if you have a question for us, you can either track me down on Google+. I'm just Jim Collison out there. Best way to do it, though, is we've got this Facebook page out there. If you go if you just search for the Average Guy Podcast, you can post a question right there. It'll actually get more eyeballs if you go out to Facebook. So appreciate that. I did get a note as well from I did this about.me. I don't know if you guys have seen that or have seen that that website, but about.me is a site where you can kind of build your own online. It's basically a big business card, right? I mean, you can put a picture in there and you can put links and a little write-up on yourself. And so for me, if you go to about.me/Jay Collison, and people keep finding me there. I don't really even advertise it very much, but myabout.me is out there. And so Bob tracked me down on about.me and asked me this question. He said, enjoy the podcast. And thanks, Bob. Appreciate that. We enjoyed doing it. On last week's show, you discussed disassembling hard drives, something I enjoy as well. You might want to mention that the frame holding the heads is razor thin and razor sharp. Also, the rare earth magnets are for the actuator, not for recording. And he put in parentheses, not really clear on the podcast. And that's right, we weren't really clear as we were talking about them. And are used to allow faster access. Yeah, so we were talking about, first of all, yes, be very, very careful when you're pulling hard drives apart. I assume all of us, right? You guys weren't on the podcast last week, but yeah, Mike's showing the mirror. Bill's got his open. John, have you torn apart any hard drives lately?
Yeah, I got a couple. I have them mounted at work. If I'd known about this, I would have brought one of them home and I could have showed you. But my first two hard drives, when I retired them, I tore them apart. I wanted to see what they look like. And the first one was an ST225. I don't know if any of you guys are old enough to remember that. It was the 20 megabyte Seagate that first came out. And, I mean, it was a big deal.
It's a big one, right? Big 8-inch or whatever that.
No, yeah, it was 5 1/4 inch.
It was 5 1/4.
Okay. And it was a half height. And that was a big deal because you were getting a half height. And it had twice the capacity of what was in an XT at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next one that I tore apart was an ST251, which was a 40 megabyte Seagate drive. And at that time, I had those in my my old IBM PC, so I had 60 meg of storage on my IBM PC, and I just thought I was the king of the world.
Yeah, hey, I bet you were.
Sorry, hey John, could you tell everyone back then what those two hard drives cost?
I had a deal on the 225, and it was like 250.
Yeah,
and that was 20 megs. 20 megs.
And I think I've gone back, John, to an old XT, I think, or that could be wrong, but maybe it was an 8088, but because maybe they didn't even have hard drives that. But I found a really large, I mean, this was a not the 3 1/4 or 3 1/2 inch form factor. This was the bigger Bill, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah,
you
know? I know exactly. Yeah.
Big old thick hard drive. It was tall. A 10 megger.
Yeah.
It was a 10 megger, and I wish I had. I think I got rid of it, and you know, you're just not thinking at those times. And I wish I had held on to that hard drive just for nostalgia. But John, you said they're hung up in your office. Did you make art out of them, or
I just took the covers out of them and I had them on a shelf along with other electrical paraphernalia.
Okay, all right.
And so it's just showing off. You know, I have it on the shelf among that and some. Purdue and Rolla gear and stuff, so it's things to talk about.
You know, Jim, I did my very first one this past weekend with my two sons, and they were shocked, and I was too, basically, by how reflective this thing is.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's funny, if you ever look at, like, Google Plus, the maps where you're looking at people live on your webpage and stuff, to me, because I have them so small, there's almost no color to them. But if I look at them through the reflection in this, I see even greater detail than if I look at the monitor all by itself.
Huh.
It's the strangest thing.
Wow. Yeah. What did Christian call that? Like a primary mirror or something?
It's pretty crazy. Yeah.
What were you going to say, Bill?
I was going to say, they make great coasters, and when you have people all over and you lay them out, they go, where'd you get these awesome coasters from? I said, I can get you a set for $50, and I grab a $10 broken hard drive. I said, here's the set.
Yeah, that's funny. Yeah. Well, be careful. Bob wants to remind us to be careful, and those covers can be razor sharp, and so if you're going to go in there and pull apart the case, be very careful on how you do that. You're done. Once you pull that thing apart, it's done. Don't think you're going to get it put back together.
Wait, I can't put this back together? There is some critical critical data on here I need.
Put it in the refrigerator. You'll be all right.
Yeah.
Wait. I'm going to do the Jim Collison. I'm going to do the Jim Collison way of doing it.
Do it live, please.
Oh!
The 6-inch drop. Now it should be good, right?
Yeah, it should be good. Put that in your, just hey, put that in your DVD drive. See if it see if it can read it.
Put it in your record player. It'll work.
DVD That's drive. Awesome.
Okay, hold on.
Oh no, I don't want to be liable for your DVD drive. Yeah, you
know, we in the magnets were the boys are having great fun with the magnets. Although I had to make sure I told them, don't get it near anything. Not your monitor. Not your cell phone.
Your credit cards.
Credit cards.
Anything. You know. Well, they are super strong.
No, my boys don't have any credit cards. Don't get any my credit cards.
Yeah. Did you take apart the hard drive in response to watching what we did last week on the show, or was it just a coincidence?
I have a stack of them over here that are either like what John was just saying, you know, 20 meg or, you know, 40 meg or something like that. Yeah, yeah. And then I have a couple of bad ones, and I decided, yeah, let's just take apart one of them. Because I did see your show, and I heard Christian talking about, you know, this and the magnets, and I always wanted to do it. And I said, let me just go out there. Let me do it now that I've heard you guys talk about it again.
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of fun, and the magnets in there are really cool, and they're very, very powerful.
Very.
Yeah, powerful. Those magnets actually, just for clarification, those magnets actually sit over the actuator and drive that, the actuator, and there's a head on that that's not magnetic. And, well, I don't know if that's magnetic or not. Does anybody know? Is there any? Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
So that's a good, hold, let me bring that into focus here real quick, Bill. Hold on. There that's you nice. Go. So, yeah, so that piece there is the magnet. Point to the magnet there, Bill, on the bottom. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, it's on the bottom.
Yep, that's the magnet right there, and that's the piece that comes apart, and then the arm spins across the drive and writes the magnetic information to the drive. Yeah.
It's almost like a record player.
Just like it.
Yeah, and what I showed my boys is there's not, you know, in my case, it wasn't just one of these. There's three of them. There you go. I did the same thing.
Waka, 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 waka.
Sorry, XDJ.
In my case, there was three of these. Some of them have four, don't they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, four in drives. In my case, there were three.
Yeah.
But, you know, the magnets, my magnets were a little bit difficult to get out. And then, of course, you know, they're... When you're using a screwdriver on the thing, it's not easy.
Yeah.
Because it keeps sucking the screwdriver.
They are good magnets for sure.
Yeah.
And nice and strong. That's a good look, Bill, on the inside if you've never seen the inside of a hard drive before.
It's great for a podcast.
Yeah. So while you're showing that, I'll just say, you know, while we cannot demonstrate this on audio, head over to theaverageguy.tv/live and we do a video replay of the podcast. And you can go over there and either watch it on the replay or down on the bottom of the screen, there is some options just to watch it whenever you want.
And it's really cool.
Oh, look at that. There you go.
Look how clear the picture looks.
Yeah. That is pretty amazing, isn't it?
Oh, my camera's so much better.
I'm better. My video is better.
Wow.
And there's your second monitor.
That's a neat trick.
That is, wow, that's like art, Bill.
It's great.
Nice job.
Now, the screws that are on the, there you go. Oops. The screws that are on the thing are not normal Phillips head. You do have to get something that can unscrew it.
Yeah, it's you have to get one of these.
It's called a Torx.
Yeah, you got to get a Torx. Let's see, where's my camera? So you got to get a Torx. Yeah.
So
if you go to Sears, if you're a Craftsman guy and you go to Sears, you want the black handle Torx screws, and you can kind of see there they're a little bit. Yep, there you go.
I had now, to use a drill bit.
Jim, is that a is that an 11 or a 15 Torx for your microserver?
Let me. This is a 10. No,
a T10? 10. Okay. Yeah, this you is need a T10.
And so the three that you get are a, let's see, hold on here. This is a T15.
Yeah.
A T20. So a T10, a T15, and a T20. I'm assuming the T10 is the one that I use. I just try them until I get the right one. I never look at the...
I have a whole PC kit. You know,
oh, yeah.
Tools kit, and it did not have one in it that would work.
Really?
So what I had actually had a drill bit that was the right shape, because I think it's basically like this. You're not going to be able to see it. But
Yeah.
It's not going to focus. But anyway, it's basically like that, but this one was too big. The one that's in here is too big. So I had a drill bit that was the right size.
And you it came drill it out?
Well, it was a screw head or whatever that needs to be. Mm. That was the right size, and it just screwed right out really easy once I did that.
I bought a whole set of like a million bits. You know, they came in a little container like this, and I just found the one, you know, I needed. And once the kids found out they could take them apart, they must have taken 5 or 6 or 7 or 8 of them apart in an afternoon, and had a blast with them. So, and that is
thermal grease. It's my little toolkit that I have all my little thermal grease.
So be careful, Bill, Bob. Thanks for your comments on, and that's the universal solvent right there.
So Mike has a guitar above the cabinets for the girls' shows, and he's got the thermal grease for us.
That does not sound good at all.
This show is going downhill fast.
There's the guitar. That wasn't intentional. I did not. You're good, John. Think before. You're good. Sorry about that.
The guitar has made a reappearance.
I like it. All right.
I'm keep my mouth shut for now on.
You're fine. Back on track. Bob, thanks for your comments. And again, if you you want to send us some information, we'll read it on the podcast. And just send it to podcast@theaverageguy.tv. Or you can catch me, I guess. Everybody else seems to be doing it. About.me/JCollison gets me as well. I must have that address somewhere in my Twitter account or something like that. Okay. Let's actually get to some real tech stuff. And Bill, we're going to drop down to you and what you have in the show notes there. You've got a note here about Best Buy closing some brick and mortar stores.
Yeah, I found it interesting that they have two different type of stores. One is a full-fledged get whatever you want type brick and mortar. And then they open up this new one near me, and it's like a little tiny buy 5 TVs, buy a little bit of this, a little bit of that. And I thought it was interesting that they're doing this. And then all of a sudden, that article came in where they're actually closing the bigger brick and mortar stores, but they're looking to open up these smaller satellite stores.
Yeah, I think Best Buy's taking a shelling on the big footprint that they have. And I've noticed over the last 4 years, less and less and less inventory in a Best Buy.
Yeah, I mean, exactly.
Right, they used to be jammed and stocked to the ceiling.
Mm-hmm.
And now they barely carry anything, and they carry just enough to stock the shelves. Now, that's unfortunate because Best Buy in my community, that's really the only tech store I have. We don't have a Fry's. We don't have Micro Center, thank you. Yeah. And I wish we did, but we don't. And so I'm kind of stuck. I've either got to order it online or, you know, and I can find some good deals at Best Buy. They actually have been clearancing some product of late, and it's just as cheap on clearance as it would be from Newegg, you know, regular price.
Right.
So that's not too bad of a deal. How many Best Buys do you have close to you? I mean, what's around you?
Here in New Jersey, we're in a central area, so we're like northern is pretty packed, and south of where I live is pretty country. I got three near me, one full brick and mortar, and two satellites that just opened up probably in the last 2 years. So I was very interested in going into them. And you see that, you know, you just can't get what you want. You're not going to buy an SSD. If you do, you have to, you know, disorder online. And they're trying to push you there online, which I find kind of counterintuitive. And if you go on their website and you look for something, if they don't have it, they'll push you over to another vendor from their website.
Huh.
All of a sudden. I just noticed that this week.
Wait, push you over to, like, Best Buy would push you to Fry's?
Yeah, so let's say, like, Amazon. You use Amazon, and they have it, but they show you 10 other vendors that have it. All of a sudden, Best Buy, this week, I just noticed it this week, is showing that, we have it, or if we don't, I should say, we don't have it, but here's where you can get it through us, through another vendor.
Huh,
so being shipped from Best Buy through another vendor.
Oh, okay.
So you can't just like exactly what Amazon's business model is.
You know, the only company that I know of, and I'm sure there's been others, but the one that comes to mind right away that's made the transition from brick and mortar to online and done it very successfully was a company called Egghead when they had the storefront, the brick and mortar. Mm-hmm. And then when they went online, they changed their name to Newegg.
Right.
And, you know, to me, that's one of the first places I'm going to go to do research on, you know, computer stuff. And I end up buying a lot of my stuff from there, too. They've made the transition. In my experience recently going into brick and mortars, I wanted to go buy a new scanner, you know, document scanner. And I searched online, and the only place local that had it was an Office Depot. We have Best Buy, Micro Center, and Fry's, but these guys are the only ones that had it. And I went in there, and their price was about $100 more than what I can get it on Amazon. And I had the Amazon ad, you know, regular price with me, printout, and told the guy, you know, hey, will you match the Amazon price? And he said no. And I said, you know, this isn't just anybody. This is Amazon. You know, this is a reputable company, and I can have it in 2 days, free shipping, and no tax. And if you don't sell this to me here, I can come back 2 months later, and I bet you're still sitting on your shelf. So you're telling me you'd rather not sell it than match your competitor's price? And he just said, yeah, we can't match online prices.
Yeah.
I said, fine. I'll come back if I need a sheet of paper.
Yeah, it's a shame. I'm in the same boat that Jim is. Like, if you need something, I have one mom and pop shop where you're going to, you know, it's 200% over anything with a new egg.
They just tell you.
Yeah, and they have to because of the overhead. And then, you know, luckily, new egg is 50 miles, if that, north of me. So, you know, if I order something, I get the next day. Yeah. But I still have to pay tax because the warehouse is in my area, which isn't that bad. But if you go to, you know, Best Buy, if you need something, you'll pay the money for it.
Right.
You know, it's just a shame we don't have any of these places left. You know, Radio Shack turned into what it did, and now we have Best Buy, and that is all we have.
Well, you know, I think it's a shame because I do like going into there and seeing them. And some things you want to buy, you want to physically hold. You may even want to compare multiple items, and holding them and seeing them in front of you is a nice thing to have. But and I'd be willing to pay a little bit more, but the prices need to be competitive. And from what I've run into, the prices haven't been competitive. But even worse than that, even worse than the prices not being competitive, the customer service inside the stores has been, you know, awful in many cases. Sometimes you feel like, I'm sorry I'm interrupting the group conversation of all the employees. There's a customer here who would like to spend a little bit of money. And that's how you feel sometimes when you're trying to get help from some of these places. Just recently I had a guy in Fry's, and I asked him, you know, I'm looking for this thing. Do you have any more in the back? And he said, I don't know, let me go check, in a way like a super inconvenience for him. So I was with my son, and we decided, let's just wait and see how long this takes. And we were looking at other things. 20 minutes later, the guy still hadn't come back, but I could see him over there chatting with his buddies. So I walked by and said, that's all right. I just decided to buy it from somewhere else.
Yeah, and they don't care. They're paying. Yeah.
That's the thing. He doesn't care. Now, later, whenever his store is one of them that's being closed, like this Best Buy, he's going to be upset. But, you know. The I don't care attitude is what's destroying a lot of these places.
I was showing, a second ago. Let me see if I can bring that back up. Mm-hmm. So this is the Best Buy Marketplace,
right?
Which is what you're seeing in there. And it gives the let's just see if this works here. So this, much like the Amazon Marketplace, and I didn't know this had come either, but they say Marketplace items are only available to purchase online and ship directly from the seller to you. So it says Best Buy Marketplace gives you access to thousands of additional choices to meet your online shopping needs. Our sellers have been carefully selected from the best online retailers to participate in the Best Buy Marketplace. So a ripoff of Amazon all the way in that standpoint. Bill, I didn't realize they had gone that direction either.
Yeah, I think they see the writing on the wall because the overhead in certain places in this country, I mean, square footage is so expensive.
Yeah, you can't keep that stuff on a show floor. So we buy a lot. We talk about Newegg a lot, and of course that's probably one of our favorite places to buy. They've taken over that space for, at least here in the U.S. They have taken over, for geeks, they've taken over that space. If you haven't tried it yet, newegg.com, and they've got 85,000 items for sale or so out there, and I think we've all bought stuff from Newegg, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
All Newegg fans. So, Bill, you're eyeing this DirecTV HR34 DVR with 5 tuners in it.
Yeah, you know, as a media center guy and an HD home run guy, I saw Dish come out at CES with their Hopper with their extenders, 5 extenders, whatever it is. And in my house, it's DirecTV because I'm a football guy, I'm a sports guy. I'm not getting it on cable. I'm not getting it on Verizon. I'm not getting anywhere else but DirecTV. But we've been limited on what we can do. So we have two DVRs, but we can only record four shows at a time, one downstairs, one upstairs, and we can't cross-pollinate unless we pay the extra subscription.
Right.
And then Dish came out with this, you know, basically dropping a bomb on DirecTV at CES with their multi-room central area hopper. And then all of a sudden, boom, this DirecTV comes out with five tuners, which is, you know, two recordings per tuner.
Mm-hmm.
So that you, not that we, I ever would, but I just think it's like, you know, they said, okay, we can do this, and now we're going to up you this much.
Yeah.
You know, I find it interesting. I still wish there was a cable card for DirecTV, but, you know, I'm stuck where I am.
Well, we had Adam Thursby on the Home Server show last night, and I think he said he had upwards, and John, you can correct me, John Zadler in chat, you can correct me if I'm wrong. I think he has 10 tuners at his place
available. Yeah, he's insane, though.
Yeah. Well, so on this one, so is this a single unit that I put in? It's got five tuners available to it, and can I set up to record from any TV in the house and then watch it from another TV in the house, right?
Exactly.
So it really is like a centralized storage for your video content.
Right, and the problem here is that there's a lot of legacy hardware that they have out. So, like, I have a legacy HD box, but it's still DNLP. DNLP? Am I saying it right? Being stupid?
I think DLP. So. I'm not a TV guy.
No, I'm not even talking about TV, but I'm talking Windows...
We
can push it from it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, the older boxes
I got that stuck in my head.
Yeah.
DNLA.
LP, thank you. I'm not talking about little mirrors.
DNLA.
On the TV, yes, thank you. The older boxes were they were compatible with that. So you can take something from your Windows XP or Windows 7 and send it to the older receivers. So I think that they made this backwards compatible with people who you don't have to buy the whole setup. Where in Dish, you have to buy the hopper and you have to buy the extenders. Where in this case, you buy this one main central unit and it will work with the old receivers. That's how I understand
it. Okay. All right. So a nice I need to have the DirecTV service to be able to pull this off, right?
Yeah. Which is the best, you know, quality video you can actually buy.
Okay.
In my opinion.
Yeah. I have to admit, I'm a lazy cable guy, and I buy the $20 basic package that gives me 26 crappy channels, and we pull over their HD on.
Yeah, I mean, they were the first to do MP4, but over the air, obviously, is still much better.
Yeah.
But it's still a great picture.
Okay.
Awesome.
Good stuff. Five tuners. You know, the for the average guy at this point, the idea of a TV tuner is getting closer and closer to reality. I think up until maybe a year ago. Oh, Christian, looks like Christian might be able to join us here. Let me quick give him an invite in. But it seemed like up till about a year ago, that whole tuner concept for the average guy was still probably out of reach.
Yeah.
And it seems like, to me, it's coming back.
Yeah.
Or it's coming into reach for the average guy.
Or it's making it simpler for the average guy to use.
That, I think you say.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Mike, do you do recording?
We have TiVos all throughout the house. We have three TiVos, and I have three different ones. Series 2, the TiVo HD or whatever it was, and then the TiVo Premiere. And Premiere just got even cheaper, so we'll probably replace our Series 2 with a Premiere. And I think TiVo is starting to get in with some of the cable providers to be their box. TiVo is just, for us, TiVo is super simple. You know, you set up your recordings, it's always on. I can move them from one TiVo to the next TiVo. Even a high definition TV show, I can have it in my, you know, downstairs recorded and go upstairs to our bedroom and play it up there. It'll stream. By the time I got to the first commercial, I've already built enough buffer that then I can go right through the commercial. It just gets even, you know, further ahead after that.
Now the rest of us Windows PC guys that are using Media Center, we've got some of that same kind of functionality, but it's a little bit different in the way that works. So you can go that route as well. John, do you record any TV? You got any TV tuners?
Well, I have Comcast.
Okay.
And I DVR it. We have their HD packages. And then I also use, of course, Windows Media Center. I have a two-channel HD home run. And, okay. And we also just play off the internet. A show in particular, that my wife likes, The Good Wife. CBS is always screwing that show up with runovers from previous shows, you know, like the Great Race or whatever it is.
Right, right.
And yeah. So actually I have it set up so that we just go to the HTPC and we switch over and we can click on it to either go into the Media Center or just go right to CBS's website and play it from there.
Right.
And
right.
It's a pretty good show, a pretty good quality of show, actually. And the commercials are a lot shorter. Hi, Christian. How you doing?
Hey, everyone.
Hey, man.
Yeah, Jim, I know y'all were talking down about the Xbox last night, but you know, for us, we actually use the Xbox as a gaming device, too.
Right.
So it's you know, for that reason alone, we have it. But in addition to that, the combination of the TiVo and the Xbox really solves just about everything for us because we can watch Hulu, we can watch Netflix, we can watch, you know, rent first run movies on, you know, through the Xbox, through their, what do they call it, Zune Marketplace. You know, so as soon as it comes out on DVD, we can rent it through the Zune Marketplace.
Yeah. Yeah, well, Adam didn't like the Xbox. That was just, he didn't like it as an extender.
Well, as an extender, I would agree. It's not as strong as an extender. But, you know, I don't really need it as an extender.
Yeah, right. Yeah. That's how we used ours. I really try to keep one device out in the living room. So, you know,
well, I play Call of Duty every night, so I make full use of
my
Xbox.
When do you find time to play Call of Duty with all the podcasting?
Well, you know, about 12:30 when I tell you I got to go to bed.
Man, you're like me. You never sleep. Christian, welcome. How are you, man?
Good, guys. Doing well.
Good. Good to have you.
Got the ceremonial class ring deal tonight.
So oh, nice.
That was
cool. So what's that all about? Can you disclose? Or
It's our class ring. People make a big deal out of it.
Yeah. And there's some kind of cool. Where you got him tonight? Is that?
Yeah. It was like a ceremonial mass type deal.
Huh.
So.
Oh, so you go because you go to a is it a Catholic private school?
Yeah, Jesuit.
Yeah, Jesuit. Yeah. Oh, that's cool. All right.
So, well, don't glad give you it can... to your girlfriend.
Because yeah.
Forget it back.
Yeah, don't do that. Bad idea.
Yeah.
Bad idea. Are you going to wear it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was funny because I had it on the finger that it was actually fit for and it fit all right. So I was just being stupid and moving it on other fingers. Got it stuck on the middle finger and I was sitting there with soap trying to get it off.
Nice. Yeah, no, keep it on the finger it's designed for. So
yeah,
it's, right. That's the way it goes. Well, welcome to the show. Let's see. Let's move into to a new segment. And Christian, you are definitely behind on segment music.
Yep, I'm just behind, period. I mean, any topic we can talk about, I'm just behind.
So we have a new one called Tool Time with Bill the Builder. So, Bill, what do you got for us?
All right. You know, I have so many tools, and a lot of them I use for building or disassembling computers. And I figure this week, this is a really good one to buy. It's the Snap-on CTS-561. It's actually a cordless drill. Not a drill, but a screwdriver. Has a lot of different ends you can put on. And yes, you can have the magnetic tip or you can't, depending on which camp you fall into. And I use a magnetic tip and never had a problem with a motherboard. But if you want to take a computer apart, there's no flipping the switch here. Each one, the down button is to loosen, the top one's to tighten. It takes small lithium battery that will last you forever. You can take a computer apart or assemble it in minutes. And because all the screws are magnetic, you can hold it on there, get in those tight spaces, get them in there. And again, I've never had a problem with frying a chip or a BIOS or a GPU. It's a fantastic piece of hardware.
Nice. Yeah, you know, we often don't think about... Here, I'll show a bigger picture of this thing. We often don't think about using tools like that for... There's kind of the full size there. Oh, I've got it up on the... I got it up on the screen, Bill.
Okay.
We often don't think about using tools for PC repair, but when I did PC support like 10 years ago, I got a Craftsman drill, you know, same kind of thing. It was a long screwdriver thing. And that is, if you're doing a lot of screws, and PCs have less and less screws today than they've ever had, so you're not as screwed as you used to be. But it is still nice to have a tool hanging around, you know, that is by, you know, I've found from a tool perspective, this just having a flashlight close by as you're working on PC stuff to be able to,
watch this one.
Right.
It has LEDs. I can't point it at the camera. But LEDs on the side and a magnet right there, so I can stick it in the box.
Oh, nice! Right. Yeah,
that's next segment of Bill the Builder. I have the light that you must have.
Sorry. All right, we'll come back. Oh, I'm but just you'll have your light, but you know, for $7, you know, this is a little Craftsman light, but comes in real handy, especially in the basement. Not that all of us live in the basement, but we do. And or at least we're put in dark spaces. Having a flashlight on my desk is one of those things that's really, really helpful to have.
And just to go over it real quick, this is a Snap-on tool. You're going to pay a premium for this. You know, it's not cheap. You know, it has a special charger. There are other brands you can buy of this. And you're laughing.
No, I was laughing. Vinyl Freak said rim shot. He was referring to my joke, so sorry. No, it is expensive, though, at $145. At least that's retail, right? With Snap-on, any way to get deals?
Well, you can probably hit them up on we have actually a vendor that comes by every week.
Right.
Repairs our tools or whatever problem. But you can get this right on eBay Amazon. It's got so much torque that I can actually take a 3-inch screw and put it through a 2x4.
But do you need to be careful that you're not putting a screw through a motherboard?
Does it have a torque adjustment knob on there?
Absolutely not. Real men don't need torque adjustments, especially on PCs.
Well, then let me tell you, I must not be a real man. Because let me tell you about my cordless screwdriver I use on mine. Unlike everything else I had for Jim earlier, I do not have that right in front of me. but mine is a cordless screwdriver that has a light on the front of it when you turn it on.
Yep.
And it's got an adjustable torque thing. So depending on what I'm screwing in, sometimes I might torque it all the way down.
Then spin the computer around your
bit. No, I'm sorry. Torque it the other way so that it won't be too strong.
No, you should turn the dial. I know exactly what you're saying. A lot of drills or screw guns will have that. Makita or even your cheaper Ryobi will have that gear setting. This is literally, you can fit it in your palm of your hand. It's not nothing big. You can get it in small places.
Ryobi. I got to go look at mine. Mine's probably Ryobi now.
No, it probably is because it sounds like.
Yeah. Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, it's really nice. Really nice.
All right, that's tool time with Bill the Builder. I like that. That's a good segment. We haven't really talked about tools that way. That's cool.
Yes.
But I think it's a good thing because it's important. Everybody uses them who works on computers.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and remember, it's important. It's I have some of those big screwdrivers, but yeah, really, you do got to be careful when you're screwing those things in. If I'm using a motherboard, I'm using a screwdriver, to be honest with you.
Well, you know, the worst thing I've ever done was I was trying to put in a heat sink. Back, they used to be really hard to put on the motherboard, and I was using a screwdriver to
push down,
down, and it slipped. And right across the motherboard. And you know all those little lines, those little thin lines?
Yeah.
Probably like 8 or 10 of them. I just scratched right through them.
3 layers deep.
Guess what? That motherboard didn't work right.
You think?
No bias was fixing that one. Yeah.
Hey, Mike.
Try it anyway.
let's switch gears.
No, I tried it anyway. Yeah, I tried it anyway.
let's switch gears real quick. And what's going on over at JPEG to RAW? I know. Are you still giving away?
We have stuff? What 2, 3? Depending on how you count it, 2 or 3 days. March 31st is the last day to enter. to win the Lightroom 3.
You're giving stuff away?
Yeah.
We give stuff away all the time.
Yeah, man. You got that right in front of you right there.
Lightroom 3.
What don't you have? You should show. Do you have your camera still set up where you can show your behind the scenes? Can you do that?
I want to see an Easter egg.
Hold on. One thing. I'll come back to that in a second, Jim.
All right.
Bill, I not only have one copy to give away, I have two copies to give away.
Can I participate?
Yeah.
Go to to our website, and there's a giveaway there that tells you what to do and what you have to sign up. I even have that little drill bit that I talked about earlier, Jim.
There's the torque.
There's the
thing. God, what don't you have on that desk there? This is
you gotta have
really
an egg.
Can't see the bottom of it, and he just keeps pulling crap out of there like it's Sesame Street.
He has his son over there grabbing stuff and sending it up to him.
Bin.
That is awesome, Mike. That is awesome. All right, get to while we talk. Let's see. No, actually, the segment we were doing was for you. Do we have somebody else? Oh, there you go. Mike's flipping over.
And we're going to see if this will work.
Yeah, you got a new camera, which I thought was a really unique. So you took, let me just, for the average guy, right? So you took just a regular web camera and you stuck it up there on your shelf right above your head. But you ran a really long USB 2 cable to get it there. Is there any distance limitations on USB 2? Anybody know? How far you can... How long is that cable, Mike?
Oh, it's probably 10 feet.
Okay. That's it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So it's not too far. So it at least goes 10 feet.
Yeah, so here's a question. I don't know how to get it. I've had my server join, but it's not getting the webcam.
I don't see that. Yeah, you'll have to go into the Google Hangout.
I did.
Okay.
I chose it, but it...
Well, that's okay. I didn't. I should have told you to be ready for it, and I didn't. That's okay. I didn't know we were going to... Don't worry about it. Tell me what else is going on, JPEG to RAW. What are you guys talking about over there?
Tuesday night we had a storm chaser on, a guy who does storm chasing, which was very interesting to watch that. He does it mainly for fun. It's not money yet. But he also got a time-lapse video. So he set up a camera on a tripod and looking over Phoenix, Arizona. And he was taking multiple shots over time. And then he put them all together to make one what looks like a video. And that video was of a humongous sandstorm that basically went from the ground all the way to the clouds and just came over Phoenix at like 60 miles an hour. And he's got a video of that. And that video, if you ever heard of like Reed Timmerman, who's on Storm Chasers, the TV show, runs the Dominator, has used that in some of his videos. The guy has got on Vimeo has over 1.5 million views on that thing.
Wow!
So very impressive.
If somebody wanted to watch it, would they just put like Arizona Storm Chaser in and it at YouTube?
I can put the link here to his thing.
We'll put throw that in the.
Better yet, I'll put the link to show number 34 in here, which has
nice. There you go, way to pimp the podcast.
But outside of that, the big news in the photography land right now is Photoshop CS6 public beta. If you're a Photoshop user, Photoshop is the photo editing program that sets the standard, and the new beta for the new Photoshop 6 is out. And it's public beta. Anybody can download it. It is about 1.7 gig. So if you're like Tim out there in chat, it may take several hours to download.
Or a month.
I think it took me 5 minutes, Tim.
You'll be happy to hear that, I'm sure.
But there's some huge features coming along with it. And one of the features, I might have talked about it here before, I don't remember. But they have one of the things they have in Photoshop is called Liquify. And it could be used on people like me to make them a little bit skinnier, or it could be used on women to make certain parts bigger. So you could do anything like that. But one of the things with Photoshop has always been that tool is very, very slow. And now they're using the video card, the processing power of the video card, to enhance that tool. And I haven't tried it yet, but they claim that it is much, much faster. Outside of that, they have some tools that allow blurring to fake like a. If you ever looked at a really good photo where the background is blurred and the foreground isn't sharp, that's called bokeh, B-O-K-E-H, and it's something that normally is done just with the lens. You got to do that at the time you shoot. Photoshop has got now called something called Blur Gallery, which makes that you can do a lot more of that in post-processing. I haven't tried that yet either.
Okay.
And then a way to do what they call clone move. So you've got the example they show, there's a girl over here, and they want to put her over here. But when they take her out, you know, what? How are they going to fill in the part that's behind her? You know, there's a building behind her. There's trees. Yeah. How are you going to fill all that in? Well, they just grabbed her, moved her over, stopped, and it automatically filled in everything over there.
Oh, wow.
Made her look natural where they put her. It's not quite that easy in real life, but it is.
Yeah,
it is a very, very powerful tool. So wow. Photoshop CS6 public beta is the news right now.
And when you're moving a person like that, do you have to? Is the software smart enough to know the polygon that is the person and just pull that over, or do you got to like outline?
You got to outline them. But you don't. Oh, wow. In this case, they were not doing grabbing every fine hair to do it. They just did a general outline to grab that person, and so you didn't have to do it as neatly as you thought. It worked really well.
Wow. Well, very cool. Well, you're working over there Tuesday nights. Chat starts at 8. Show starts at 8:30. Watch your Google Plus, by the way, guys. I just got the "Are you still there?" message. So
I got mine.
We got to petition Google to change that to 2 hours instead of one. That would be very nice. And everything you need to know about taking pictures, you guys are covering over there. I like the Storm one. I'll have to go back and listen to the Storm Chaser.
Yeah, if you have not, 34. If you have not watched the show in a while, that is a good one to start with.
Yeah. I'm a big Storm guy. So, well, we're gonna wrap it up. But I want to ask Christian. Christian, you've had a busy day. Any tech related things you want to add in at the last minute here?
Yeah, I got an email from AA Electronics that my Raspberry Pi, I will soon be eligible to pre-order my Raspberry Pi.
Oh,
so,
man.
It's still going to...
And what's the specs on that?
The $35 one is the one with the HDMI out, the two USB ports.
What's the processor on there?
Oh, why is it eluding me? I'm just going to look it up right now. Okay. I know it's gigabit networking.
And just for folks who don't know, Google Raspberry Pi, but it's these super small, super cheap computers that they're selling. I mean, they are literally the size of a deck of cards.
Yeah, maybe smaller. It's amazing.
Yeah.
It's the ARM. It's the ARM 700 megahertz ARM 11. Yeah. But it's amazing that you get 1080p off that thing. And 256 megs of RAM.
Let's see if we can...
3.5 watts for the $35 model.
Wow. Yeah. And they have one as cheap as $25, don't they?
Yeah.
I think they do.
Yeah, they do.
And what are you going to do with this, Christian?
Just use it for some programming and stuff. We were talking about actually using it in our... we're going to put together a robotics club at school next year. So we're talking about maybe having a Pi do some stuff. So
yeah,
get my hands on it for that price. So
I've been over at the University of Nebraska at Omaha research lab that they have over there, the Peter Kiewin Institute, and they are building robots to do mind clearing in groups, almost like the beginnings of the Borg, which is very cool. So these they put six of these things together, and they're all aware of each other, and they are all GPS enabled, so they know where they're at for each other, and where they've been, and what ground they've covered. And so then they can set certain patterns based on how many are available at the time to sweep areas for mines. And when I was looking at the construction of these robots, I looked at them, and it's really nothing more than a standard ASUS or Gigabyte motherboard that's been mounted on, you know, it's a platform with wheels, and then a series of three trays. And on one of those trays, a motherboard's mounted. On the bottom, all the USB devices are down there. I mean, this is a robot built using standard off-the-shelf, for the most part, equipment that I think I talked about this before. I didn't expect it. Well, and Christian, until you said that, I thought, wow, with this Raspberry Pi, they probably have all the processing power they need now in this little $35, you know, it's basically a motherboard.
Yeah, no, it's neat. Neat stuff.
Yeah, an ARM. That's an ARM processor, right?
Yeah, ARM 11.
Yeah.
I think it's the beginning of the replicators instead of the
board. Yeah, it's kind of scary where we're going. I think there's some really cool stuff out there, but I am seeing the beginnings of some of science fiction becoming reality. And it's sometimes you kind of you think, oh, I don't know, this is kind of scary. So, anything else, guys? We've gone a little bit long.
I got my other video up. It was XSplit.
Oh, yeah.
XSplit had grabbed it and was not letting me take it.
Let me highlight there. Okay, so that's you from behind.
Yep.
And so that's how. See, I don't see the box that has all this crap that you keep.
It's right here on the desk.
That is cool.
So you've got
I got four screens.
Oh, ooh. Hold on. I need to. Yeah.
Somebody just left.
We just.
Bill.
Or somebody came in. Let's see.
Hold on. No, we lost Bill.
Did we lost Bill? He might. He had sent me a note that something was going on, so he might have to drop out for a second.
So I've got two screens here.
And those are connected to?
The broadcaster.
Right.
And then I got two screens here. One's a 24-inch and one's a 22 turn vertical.
Okay.
And that's where I normally, like right now, I'm watching a show. I watch my show in the chat and all that over here. I've got a, this is a crazy lighting. I got an umbrella here with two LED lights shooting into it and bouncing back. I have got a LED light here in front of me with a diffuser on it shooting right at me. And then you can't see them because they're right outside the camera, but I have a little strip of LED lights that are over here providing us a little bit of light from that side. And then my AC unit, which is turned off, so I don't bother the sound.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then the broadcast server is just right down here. That's it.
Nice. Yeah, that's a cool little cam. You showed that last night or Tuesday night on your show.
Yeah, just have a long cable.
Yeah, that's an interesting perspective on the office.
It's right. You might be able to see something funny that looks right there in my video. A little
silver piece there.
A little silver piece right by the end of the guitar. It's sitting right there. What's funny is you can't. There's a cable just running up the side of the on the outside of the bookcase. You can't even see it because it's black, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. The average guy is going to say, what the heck do you need four monitors for? But Rennie said, my God, what a setup. Yeah, especially in the podcast arena, it's kind of what we've come down to keep all this stuff under control.
It is. You know, I've always had two. But for a long time, I've always had two on my main computer. And I was running one on the broadcast server. And the reality is, and Jim knows this, you know, after you get to doing this, you're doing screen grabs and all this kind of stuff. It's so much easier if you can have two. And they were just $80 a piece. They're HP,
They're 2031s probably, S2031s. Yeah. HP sells those for $80.
Yeah, they're super cheap, but they're good enough for what we're doing. And I got them on a monitor arm, which probably costs more than the monitors themselves. Yeah. And I can swing around, and it works out really good.
Awesome. Thanks for showing that. Bill gave me the note that he's got to run, and so we'll use that as a last call. Is that – you got to go?
No, I'm fine now.
Oh,
I had to go.
Okay. Oh,
I had
all right.
You know, yes. One of those things.
Yeah, and you're good, man. It's the wife calls. You got to go.
He had to change hats.
Yeah, I did do that.
Did you like
– that's his nighttime hat.
My wife knocked the other hat right off my head.
Just clocked you. What are you doing that podcast again?
I have the Bose on, so I can't hear anything
at all. Yeah. So, are those noise canceling?
Yeah. Oh, they're awesome.
Yeah.
They're so good. If you're outside working, it's good. Yeah. They're great.
Well, cool. Well, it is a good time to kind of wrap things up here. I do appreciate you guys coming. Let's see. Christian, did we get – yeah, you talked about your Raspberry Pi, so we're good. We're good with you. Anything else, Christian?
No, life is sweet.
Good stuff. It is sweet. It's sweet for you, and it's sweet for all of us. Mike, especially Mike's new setup there with all this stuff. Mike, appreciate you coming on. John, thanks for filling in a pinch. Good to have you out here and your first inaugural home tech podcast. Good to have you out here.
Great to be here.
Appreciate you doing that. Christian, thanks for jumping in. We didn't get much with you, but it's always good to see you and good to have you on. Okay. I should remind you, Christian, last week as we talked about taking hard drives apart, I had a listener write in and say be very, very careful with the edges of those hard drives because they can be razor sharp. So,
yeah.
We talked about that as well. Bill, thank you for coming out tonight and for starting a new segment on the show. Great to have you on.
Thank you.
Oh, is something going on behind you?
No, I was looking for the hard jar I threw over my shoulder.
Oh, is that what banged on the floor? Went over there? Okay. Yeah, good stuff, guys. I'll remind folks that if they want to contact the show again, if they have questions or comments, we love that stuff. It's good show material. Send me an email, podcast@theaverageguy.tv, or you can catch us on Facebook. Just search for The Average Guy Podcast or catch me on Twitter @JayCollison. All right. We're done with another evening. We'll be back again next Thursday with a new cast and new questions and new problems, and we'll do it all over again Thursday night, 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern, and you can always listen live over at theaverageguy.tv. Good night, guys.
Night.
Good night.
You want to take that umbrella and just bash it over your head because you got such good light, and I get these two little trinket lights. I just want to, God.
You know, this monitor arm is so huge and humongous and sturdy that I just attached, I got a bracket. I don't want to go into too much of that, but a bracket and have the umbrella sitting on that because it was sitting on, you can't see it, but I have a little computer desk that I do my work on. So like what you have back there, a little bench, and the light was on a stand. Taking up almost the whole bench, and I wasn't able to work on it. And moving over here is better because I get that light. And the LED lights, almost no heat.
Awesome.
And lots of light.
So during the show, Bob wrote back, the guy who sent in the tip about the hard drive and the razor sharp edges.
Yeah.
He said, I asked him, I said, hey, we're going to talk about your concern live on the show tonight. I said he'd try and get on there. I don't think he made it out, though. He said, we'll try. Although I listen mostly with my Android Motorola Atrix. Is that how you pronounce that? Atrix? Uh-huh. On the commute, remembered that you'd requested a note about how we listen. I used the free MyPod app, although I'm not convinced it is the best. Doesn't screen rotate for my car dock. And neither does what do I use? Beyond Pod.
Mine screen rotates?
Doesn't rotate on my phone.
What?
No, doesn't rotate for me.
Mine does all the time.
Really? Well, maybe I have a setting. Maybe there's a setting I don't have on or something.
Yeah. Hey, Jim, you know I'm using Blueberry as another statistical gathering thing.
Right, right.
And it's pretty easy. I'm using the free statistical thing. There's a $5 a month one that gives you more. But what's really cool about that is I can see who's using what. I can see how many Beyond Pod users, iTunes users.
Oh, really? It breaks it down that
who's, how many people are watching it from the website. And I am, we do three feeds, an audio and two videos. And it's crazy how it's different between the three.
Right.
And I was shocked by how many people use Beyond Pod.
Yeah. More or less?
A lot.
A lot of people use Beyond Pod. Yeah, I think it's a pretty good little. You know what? It's worked for me. I installed Stitcher on my phone just the other day and haven't got it completely set up yet, just to see what that experience is like, because that's also a podcatcher of sorts and with a pretty big community behind it. So I was going to give that a try.
Yeah.
Bob also says I enjoy the show, even though I'm a Linux user at home. I, like you, have to support the family and friends on Windows. And then this is I haven't seen this designation before. It says a little I, big P, XX. So an iPod, iPad, iPhone. I like the way that – I like that designation, IPXX, and a Mac. Bob, thanks for your comments. I do appreciate that.
So here's what I was going to tell you is for the audio, we're 39% iTunes, 14% Beyond Pod. For the video large, 33% Beyond Pod, 25% iTunes. Video small, 75% Beyond Pod, 14% iTunes.
Yeah, that makes sense.
It's just it's weird how the different ones, you know, different shows show up differently.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that makes sense, though, to get your small video. Get your small video on the iPhone or on the Android device.
Through the mobile, yeah.
Yeah, because 99% of the Android devices out there are phones.
Right.
Hey, Mike.
Yes, sir.
I don't want to be creepy, but I'm watching you solely from behind.
It's the last thing you want to hear if you ever show up in prison.
Yeah, well.
There should be some music to go with that.
Yeah.
Like some 70s type music.
Always have his hanger. Remember what we were talking about? Someone brought up the bartender at the the Love Boat.
Remember that,
Jim? And I said, wear his ass out.
The bartender. What was his name?
I'm starting to see a pattern. I know, Bill.
Isaac. Yeah, he was just wore out because he was the only bartender on the whole ship.
Yes, there is a pattern.
I'm starting to see a pattern.
Yep.
Hey, my sister lives in New Jersey. What part of New Jersey do you live in?
Central. I mean, most people out of New Jersey goes, what exit you from?
My sister lives in Chatham.
Oh, Chatham, yeah. That's north of where I grew up. Yep, yeah, okay. Not too far away.
Very nice.
How far is that from Allentown?
I'm closer to Allentown. Allentown and Chatham is actually the same distance for me right now. Where I live here. So, yeah, I have a property out in Lehighton, so it's just outside of Allentown.
Tim out in chat just warned me not to drop the soap.
Yeah. No, I'm just looking at your mouth.
This podcast took a weird turn tonight.
Well, this is the unedited, this is the after show, right?
Yes. Yeah.
It's not being recorded. It still took a weird turn.
Everything's being recorded.
Oh, jeez. I was just looking at his, because all my monitors aren't on the desk. They're all up from Monoprice. I get all the mounts.
Yep.
Pretty cheap. And I got four here that are on mounts. So I was looking at his setup.
Do you pay for those mounts?
What's that?
How much do you pay for those mounts?
I think the dual monitor mount I paid $38, The single mounts I paid like $20.
The only one that's not on a mount is the big one right here in front of me.
Okay.
And that one, actually, if you over on Home Server Show, CompUSA or you know who I'm talking about there, Jim? He's a big poster over there. I don't think he's done it as much.
Oh, Comp, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
AJ.
I bought this monitor from AJ, the 24-inch.
Cool.
It's a Dell 24-inch. It's a nice monitor.
What am I looking for, Bill, at Monoprice,
Just do monitor stands. That's how I went through it. I'll do it right now, just double-check.
What the heck? I didn't realize I was the main one here on the show.
Yeah.
Well, it's a little dark.
Oh, sorry. I forgot to turn you off. There we go.
You like my blue? That's one of my
I like that
shots,
picture.
That blue bird. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was gonna show you guys. I didn't think of it before, but I got something I'm gonna be working with in the next month. A Seagate GoFlex 4 terabyte.
Nice.
Oh, wow. 4 terabyte. Wow.
And how much?
It was $229.
All right, that's not bad.
Hold that up again.
On Amazon.
Yeah, right up to the screen there.
Screw any screen. New hard drive should come with go. Floaties.
GoFlex.
Or swimmies.
USB 3. So you have some pretty good speed, and it's 4 gig.
Right.
For terabyte. Yeah.
4 terabyte.
Right. Nice.
And I'm looking at the possibility. I've looked at a video on how to take the hard drive out. To see if that'll work in a microserver. So, but it's going to be a few weeks before I get to it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I'm working on taxes and stuff the next few weeks.
I know, I got to get mine.
Weekends, so,
I got to get mine in. I did Fed, but I didn't do the state. Bill, is this adjustable tilting desk mount bracket? Is this what I'm looking for if I was going to go?
That's not the one I have. I'm on the same page you are. So I'm looking right now to find out I actually took pictures to do an article to give to like you or someone else, and I never got it done.
Nice. we'd love it if you ever get it done.
I love monitor mounts. I love having the monitors mounted.
These are not terribly expensive.
Not at all. The dual mounts, they're really cheap. And just to get them off your desk, I mean, I'm a tall guy, so I need things up.
Now, in my case, the edge of my desk is only about an inch. There's an inch gap, so I could not
clamp it onto the end. So what I did is I took a 2x4 and stuck it this way, mm-hmm. and stuck another one on top of it this way, mm-hmm. and then put some brackets to bracket it together so that, you know, it wouldn't hinge.
Mike,
yes.
Mike, we could actually like redub this, and you could done YMCA the song.
I was almost there. Just needed to do the C.
Yeah, that's
awesome.
Sorry.
This is actually pretty good information. This should be part of the podcast.
It'll make it there. Yeah, for sure.
Crap.
Assembly of these mounts.
Yeah, no, this is good because, you know, I've always been afraid of mounts because I thought, you know, whenever you go to the big box stores, you know, they're like $100.
Yeah.
And so, you know, here at Monoprice, monoprice.com, some pretty good, I mean, here's one for $15. Now, you know, you get what you pay for, right? So
They're really good, though. I mean, it's no joke. I'm going to go on my iPhone and see if I can show you the mount. Sorry, Mike. I said iPhone.
It's all right. Somebody's got to buy them.
It's work, you know.
I need to get, so I guess what I'll need to do, because I'm going to go to a 4-monitor setup like Mike is,
mm-hmm.
I guess I'll need to get a 2 duals. To make that work. Or, you know what I'd really like is actually double 20s on this side here, that one stacks on top of the other.
You have 4 monitors? Is that what you said?
I have 3 right now. I'll be adding a 4th here shortly. Yeah, so
here we go.
Oh, I see. So hold on. Let me switch this over so we get, yeah, let me switch that. Oh, I always hit block. Need to not do that. Okay. There we go. So that's
block.
Yeah, in the Google Hangout, I always click the block tab. Okay. Yeah, we're getting a little bit of. Let's see. Can you mute on the phone there? Can you mute your audio on the phone?
Done.
Awesome.
All right, so I'm gonna go from behind.
Okay.
We know you like to do that.
Don't do it.
Come on.
Don't go there.
My mother.
Oh, no. Easy. There he goes with that again.
Ah, oh, there he goes.
You can edit that out, right, Jim?
No, it's Dan. It's a good show.
There we go.
What's the...
So how much was that, Bill?
I got to pull it up, though. I'll be honest with you. I'm not certain.
I see the orientation
now. I believe it was pretty... And here's my singles.
I think I'm going to have a stroke. Seizure.
Oh. Okay, how is that clipped to the edge of the desk? Yeah, okay. The one I have for my vertical monitor, I actually it could clip to the edge, but I actually drilled a hole through the desk and installed it. The other one is clipped to the side, that 2x4 setup I told you about.
Sorry about that.
No, that was good.
Yeah, well, so I've got 3, but I'm not sure I want to spread them out to 4. I like this main monitor in the middle. And so I wouldn't mind having a setup where I've got 2 stacked. Huh. So a monitor and then 2 20 inches stacked. And the show would be all on the left monitor stacked. So you'd have the stuff, you know, you'd have the monitor for the podcast and stuff. And then down below, you might have some other things going on. And then 2 left and right, that would go for what you're doing with the show. So,
yeah.
Can you get them stacked, Bill?
Sure. Okay. Here, I'm going to shoot you over a, $60. This is the one that I have the 2 monitors on. I'll shoot you, put it in the notes.
There's a quad desk mounting bracket.
Yeah.
Nice. It's only $60
for a quad?
Yeah.
And how? What's the biggest size monitor to hold?
I think it's 24.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah,
monitor price is no joke.
So and Vinyl Freak saying they look beefy. Yeah. You know, when I actually get them in the mail or get them here, they're even beefier than what I thought they would be. I mean, they are the ones I have are solid. I mean, you could kill somebody with one of them if you hit them with them. You know,
I'm going to go spend more money.
I just added it to the show notes, Jim. Okay. Last one is the double that I have.
So is it on Rich's show or on your show where we watch you spend the money?
Aren't they the same thing? Yeah. It's on Rich's show that I always end up spending money. Yeah.
Well, we can wait while you go get your credit card if you want.
Please. Make me happy.
Don't need to go. It's right here.
Okay. I just screen grabbed the credit card number.